Now, for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about, this is Palm Sunday, so we want to think about, what is Palm Sunday all about? Well, this is Palm Sunday. Jesus had been staying at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus in Bethany. And you recall that Jesus had his last meal with his friends in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, and he alone knew that this was his farewell dinner with his friends right in that area of the world. Everyone else felt that this was the pre-coronation feast of Jesus. At last, they thought, he's going to be a political Messiah. He's going to set up a kingdom here, right here, with headquarters in Jerusalem. He was going to unite the people against the Roman tyrants. He was going to make food and bread in abundance like he did for the crowd at the Sea of Galilee. He was going to restore Israel to its proper place in the world. But only Jesus knew how false were the ideals of that group. Only he knew that might does not make right. And that men and women follow ideals and not idols. So the morning arrived when he was to go to Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. And he was 2 miles away. He had to journey 2 miles over the Mount of Olives to get to Jerusalem. It states he sent 2 disciples to Bethpage to get a colt, evidently from a friend, and Jesus mounted and rode in a procession to Jerusalem. Around him were the farmer people of Galilee and his disciples. A crowd always draws a crowd, and the people of, and so many pilgrims and people were in Jerusalem that they joined the throng. In fact, they said that there was over 200,000 people for the Passover feast, and they come to Jerusalem for that. And they waved palm branches and they threw their coats in his way. And he was acting out the vision that they had of the Messiah. Excitement was high, and the famous Jesus was approaching the city of Jerusalem, and everything looked like success for Jesus. Everything pointed to his highest achievement of popularity with the people. Everyone felt that Jesus had succeeded in his mission. He was proclaimed as King and Lord and Messiah, and Hosanna in the highest, they shouted. Any other man would have considered this to be the peak of his career, but Jesus knew the truth. Some years ago, I visited Jerusalem, and I went over the hill, the Mount of Olives, where Jesus rode that particular morning. And as you go over the hill, you can look down, and there's a deep ravine there, where the brook Kedron flows, and then Jerusalem's on the other side. So he goes down into a valley to get to Jerusalem. So standing up on that hill at one particular point, he could overlook the whole city. You can see the whole city out there in front of you. And in Luke we read, and when he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, would that even today you knew the thing that makes for peace. So on Palm Sunday, we see the praise of the crowd and the pity of God in Christ. Its meaning and message is found in the Master, not the crowd. The true sterling character of Jesus is presented as he meets and subdues the greatest temptation of his life, and that is the temptation of popularity and fame and fortune. In the eyes of the world, popularity is the measure of success. I believe that Jesus could have turned that mob into a weapon of political fame if he'd wanted to. Remember, the Roman army was overextended at that particular time, and there was only a small garrison stationed in Jerusalem at that time. And all the devout Jews from all around the world were drawn to Jerusalem at this time for the Feast of the Passover. And historians state that during the Feast of the Passover, Jerusalem was thronged with pilgrims, and they were spilled over into the other areas to live outside the city. They set up tents or so, whatever, so that they could take part in it. And Jesus could have commanded a weapon of unlimited strength. He could have thrashed up the enthusiasm, proclaimed himself the king, and driven the Romans out of Jerusalem. But we see Jesus was loyal to his inner convictions. He was true to himself. He had his values right. Life is values. The problem of life is finding the right values to live by. Mankind has been fooled by values ever since beads have bought diamond ring diamonds, and since newspaper headlines lead to a skid row room, and since dollars cut out friends and family. Many times in our own lives, we've been fooled by false values. As a young boy, I remember one of my big values in life. We lived in Pawpaw, Michigan, and this guy worked in the gasoline station, and he bought a brand new Ford. You know, it had a rumble seat, and it was red, and oh, I'm telling you, old Charlie Root was his name, and this shiny new shiny convertible 1930 Model A Ford with a rumble seat, you know. To me, that was the ultimate. I used to watch him skid around the corners of the dirt streets in Pawpaw, Michigan, and as he drove downtown, you know. And someone even said he actually drove 17 miles to Kalamazoo in 17 minutes. Oh, that was a mile a minute. Oh, that was great to me. Owning a car like that was the greatest value in life. Well, years later, I picked up my first brand new car, and after a few months, I realized the car is only as good as long as it takes you where you want to go. The newest car today will be out of value in about 30 or 35 years. So false values lure us. We say, oh, if only I had $100,000, then I'd be happy, you know. Or we say, if I was a great movie star, then I'd be happy. Or if I had just the president of a large corporation, then I'd be happy. But the real values of life don't work that way. The higher the income brings greater problems. Popularity becomes a hollow sham when in the lack of privacy, and the top man also carries the heaviest responsibilities. Philosophers say there are two types of values in life, the instrumental values and the intrinsic values. Instrumental values are not valuable in themselves, but they serve as a means to something else. Take your watch, for instance. It is valuable only as long as it runs and tells you the time of day. If it doesn't run, it's not much good anymore, and the only thing that it's good for is the metal and materials in it. Your car is only of value as long as it takes you where you want to go. Money is only instrumental as long as it buys you what you want. On a desert island, money is worthless. Notice instrumental values are only transient. They can let you down with a crash. But intrinsic values, real values, are values in and of themselves. We can take love as an example. Rich or poor, love is still cherished, still longed for, since it's necessary for life. Some time ago, I read an article on Diane Barrymore entitled, "I Had Everything But Love." The conclusion was, her life was empty and meaningless because she had no real love. Real love is important to everyone. How often do people deal with love as if it were a day-old newspaper? Or how often do people lash out at the person that they really love and then wonder what happened to their love? Jesus wept and said, "Would that even today you knew the things that make for peace." One thing that makes for peace in our hearts and our lives is real love. One message we get from the first Palm Sunday is God's love for us reflected in Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's reflected there so that we can see what real love means. He looked out and he saw. He looks out on us and he weeps and his words echo. Would that you knew the things that make for peace. Too often in life, we think of seeking and striving for success or for power or for money or for property. I ask you, why don't we strive for peace and love and harmony and happiness? So often in life, we think of going after things like stocks or bonds or bank accounts, and we set out to do something about this in an active way. But when we think of things like peace and harmony and love and fellowship, we think of these things in a passive way. In other words, we take a fatalistic approach and say, well, if these things happen, it's good, but they result from some source outside myself. I'm caught in the circumstances of life, and that's the way it is. I believe Jesus taught that we should be dynamic. We should be actively seeking and trying to bring love and peace and harmony into our lives and the lives of others. We should determine to live harmoniously with others. We should cultivate the qualities of life that produce these values. One of Jesus' most graphic teachings was to love your enemies. If this doesn't take positive, active action, I don't know what does. You'll never love an enemy by being passive. But why don't we try to find intrinsic values of love by appreciation and by nurturing and by making time to understand and love our wives and husbands and children and parents and in-laws and the other people in our society? All too often we take our loved ones and other people for granted. And we place our own selfish interests above them. Some people seek happiness in other areas of life. Some people say to themselves, oh, life is dull at home, and I guess I've got to do something else. I got to go out and seek excitement and happiness at a bar, in a drink, or in another person, or some other activity. What happens? For a time, perhaps, they find a shallow degree of happiness. But the drink dulls their mind, and a man slips and wakes up an alcoholic. The activity steals time and sometimes money from us. In Italy, a man threw over his wife and family and lost something like $17,000 on, of all things, pinball machines. To some, the other person becomes entangled with them, like the man 49 years old that wrote to Dear Abby. After divorcing his wife and children, his romantic interest dropped him, and he sat in a room all by himself, alone, realizing what a fool that he'd been. Yes, selfish interests often destroy us and leave us with nothing. We often take our families for granted, and we aren't willing to help them. A man came to his pastor about a family problem. One of his children was in trouble. And he said, "Here, I've done everything to make him happy, and now look, I'm in trouble with him. What can I do?" That's gratitude. The minister found out he had given his son things, but he never gave him himself. He didn't make time for the boy. Because of the situation, the minister pointed out that this man should give his son some psychiatric care. But the man's reaction was, "But that costs a lot of money. I haven't got that kind of money." And then the minister asked him about his $25,000 car, his $50,000 boat, his $250,000 house, his $5,000 dues to the country club. And then he said, "What's your son worth to you anyway?" Jesus summed it up, "Would that you knew the things for peace." What have we given towards our intrinsic values, real values in life that make for peace? Or are we buying foolish instrumental values in life that mean nothing in times of crises? One way to see the sharp contrast between real and false values is in the time of death crises. New cars, houses, boats, and things mean nothing when one we love is in the throes of a death crisis. Why is it we neglect them until this crucial time? The beauty of intrinsic values are that often they cost us nothing but time and understanding and love. The great example of real intrinsic values is Dr. Martin Luther King. Here was a brilliant man, graduated high in his class with opportunities to be a professor in three different colleges, but he took a small church in Montgomery, Alabama. He could have had a comfortable life. He could have had money. He could have had leisure, but Dr. King chose real, lasting values, and he dedicated all his efforts to this great cause. He wasn't trying to gain fame for himself, nor was he trying to cash in on power and politics. His cause was his fellow man. He knew that he would die for this cause. He even prepared his wife and children for this situation. But as he said in one of his last speeches, "I would rather die young and a great cause than to live 80 years old in selfish leisure. A hero dies but once, but a coward dies 1,000 deaths." On this Palm Sunday, let's dedicate ourselves to the things that make for peace, that we might actively love, that we might actively forgive, that we might actively live for our Lord Jesus Christ and what he stands for in our world. In a time of silent prayer, let's ask God to come into our lives and seek real values for living. Just pray, "Heavenly Father, forgive me all my sins and help me to live for love and peace. In Jesus' name, amen." Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, help us to find and commit ourselves to real and lasting values in life. Help us to follow you and your will until we see your kingdom come as a reality in our lives. Help us to be a person to be able to help other people and bring about the wonderful kingdom of God right here on earth. Bless us and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.